students from elementary schools.
They tried really hard to kind of demoralize us. I remember helicopters flying kind of low because I remember the noise. Their favorite word to use, and it sounds really bad, it was dirty Mexicans. One of the ladies came out and threw some soap bars at us. And I remember the guns, that they had guns. So at one point, I saw a gun pointed at us, and that was very scary. I think we all were scared.
The school district was forwarding names of students who were in the walk-on to the local draft board. I went down to the draft board office, and we confronted the lady at the draft board. She looked on some list, and she saw my name there. And I told her, well, not even 18. And her last words were, you just wait until you turn 18. I'm going to get you. So I left during the fifth week of the walk-on. We had bet the house, and we lost, so to speak.
After 6 weeks, the start of summer ended the walkout, but the Uvalde school board ignored the students' demands. The protest sparked a decades-long discrimination lawsuit against the school district that led to a desegregation order.
Uvalde was known, we were known for the walkout, and it was one of the biggest in American history. It was a positive thing. Now I can imagine that people will say around the world, oh yeah, that's where the shooting happened. But the fact that we remain forever that we were known for the walkout.
Some people consider the walkout in Uvalde to be una mancha negra and something that it's a hurt and they don't want to bring it up. But it's algo que sí pasó. Just like this massacre on May 24th. Yeah, it's a black mark, but there are people who prefer to have the lady-duddy version of history. They get Dale Evans, they get Matthew McConaughey, and non-controversial stories. La vida no es así.
That report by the Texas Tribune reporters Uriel Garcia and Ginesa Hernandez. Juan?
Yeah, I'd like to ask you, Chael, why you decided to break this story or go back into history at this time in terms of Uvalde, because obviously there were walkouts throughout South Texas in those years, in California in 68, Chicano high school walkouts then. Why you decided that this was important to tell now?
Juan, well, we felt that it was very important to talk about the activism in this community, that the fact that a half century ago, during the Chicano movement, the Mexican-American political movement, there was a surge of activism. And, you know, my question has been, what's happened since then, right? This is an overwhelmingly working class, overwhelmingly Hispanic community. As Amy pointed out earlier, it's become heavily militarized. It's relatively close to the border. And, you know, these are a lot of the families have, you know, folks in law enforcement working in Homeland Security or Border Patrol or even ICE, which is one reason why South Texas has become more politically contested, with Republicans making some substantial gains in the last few years. And so we felt it was important to connect that history of activism to the story of what's going on today, where the power structure, you know, remains pretty overwhelmingly Anglo. And, you know, what happened to that moment of kind of relative hope and relative, you know, political energy half a century ago.
Sewell Chan, we want to thank you so much for being with us, editor-in-chief of the Texas Tribune. We want to talk to you about San Antonio, the 53 migrant deaths. We'll post it online at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan. Please stay safe.
WRCT.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims, and we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
You are listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.
ever had. They go to the MW Club on Friday night. She gets a sludge in his bed. Surprise from the kitchen to the waitress for the fam. Has a kid on the same way that she had for 30 years. Since her life's useless, it's born and stolen. But she's happy, she's satisfied in him. Every day she cries when she remembers the day that Ayla's died. She doesn't covet what she doesn't have. Cause she's happy, she's happy, she's happy. She has a hobby. She paints ceramics and bowls twice a month. She goes dancing with her husband when I can. Or to the wrestling. But she's happy, she's satisfied him. And every day she cries when she remembers the day that Ayla's died. She doesn't tell her what she doesn't have. Cause she's happy, she's happy, she's happy.
This is Greg Keeler with Blue Rodeo here, 88.3 FM, WRCT, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
your hands to yourself. We'll be right back. Choices about alcohol. Kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations, and they want honest answers in everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path, because when you talk, they hear you. Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hi, this is Greg Keeler with Blue Rodeo here, 88.3 FM, WRCT, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
Thank you. Alex Patterson from the Auburn. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh on 88.3 FM. Suckers.
Choose his mountain!